topics. First, I want you to picture the following before I let you know what today's topic is. You are a single mother of two. You're fed up with your job as a grocery store clerk. Day in and day out, you follow the same routine. Clock in, clock out. You're tired of making $13.25 an hour. Sure, there's a possibility of becoming assistant manager at your grocery store, but that seems so far off. 5 p.m. rolls around and you clock out, leaving behind another workday. As you pull up to your house and walk over to your front door, you realize how exhausted you are. All you can think about is plopping down in front of the TV. You do just that immediately after dinner. As you turn on the TV and scroll through the channels, you stop at a commercial. It's Shouty, and the woman in the television is telling you to get up and get your degree. You perk up in your seat. The commercial keeps running and tells you about how easy it is to get your degree. You have a light bulb moment. Imagine how much easier it would be if you had a college degree. The commercial's still going. How long are these commercials anyways? You pick up the phone and call the number that is stuck in your head. The anecdote you just listened to is exactly how many for-profit colleges attract their students. On this week's show, we will be discussing for-profit colleges and the characteristics that make them different from the colleges that we are used to. For-profit colleges is actually one of my favorite topics, and I've written essays about it in some of my previous classes, and I find them so fascinating and an interesting part of higher education, and the history behind them of how they came to be is very interesting to me. So I hope that you can listen to this podcast and really to this radio show and really start thinking about what for-profit colleges are and what they do in our American society and who are the people who attend these colleges and how they affect these people. So these are some of the things I want you to keep in mind as you listen to this radio show. And you may have heard of them. A few well-known colleges are Everest College, University of Phoenix, Full Sail University, and Kaplan College. Another very popular for-profit college is WyoTech, Institute of Technology. Also, ITT Technical College is a popular one as well. An interesting thing about these colleges is that they've grown in size and how many colleges they have in the United States since the late 20th century. So to understand them better, we first need to go into more detail and break down what exactly for-profit colleges and universities are. And we will be doing this in our first segment. You know, for-profit colleges are exactly what their name says. These are institutions of higher learning and they're for-profit. Traditional colleges and universities are non-profit institutions. So Dominican University, while it is a private university, it's also a non-profit university. So what that means is that the money that goes in must go towards keeping the school running, and no one is profiting. No one is taking money that's going in and keeping it. It's all, it keeps running through the system of the university. You know, in the case of for-profit schools, the school is making money. They are pocketing some of that money that's coming in. So what I want to get down is we need to define different colleges and universities so we don't get confused. So in this radio show, we'll be talking about for-profits, but I've come up with my own kind of system of categorizing this is that we have community colleges, which are typically two-year colleges, places that you can take classes if you need to catch up on something. We also have four-year colleges and universities. These are our very traditional American colleges that we think about. We think about, the four-year, you go to a state university, let's say UC Berkeley, San Jose State, UCLA, some other public university. And then part of these four-year traditional universities, we have private universities. That would be Dominican University, Harvard University. These places are private and they are non-profit universities. These are all very different from for-profit universities, which in this case would be Everest College, University of Phoenix, Full Sail, Kaplan, etc. So let's explore some characteristics of for-profit universities. They cater mostly to what we call non-traditional students. And I would call them non-traditional students because these are mostly adult students that have been part of the workforce already. Many are married, have children, and have jobs. These are not typical college age students right out of high school. And that would be the ages, that'd be students between the ages of 18 and 22. Those who enroll in these kinds of schools are looking to go back to school to change the fields that they are working in. So in the anecdote that we listened to, it's a mom, and she's a single mom, and she works at a grocery store, and she's, you know, working as a clerk, and she's tired of it. That's what a lot of students find, is that they're tired of the jobs that they are working in. They want to have a little change. So what's the most, you know, we always hear people say, oh, I want to go back to school, going back to school to get their degree. And these schools offer degrees for these students. You know, they're often very accessible to the students. Students who are working have access to late night classes. And these students are among people their own age. You know, here at Dominican, I've seen adult students in our classes. And, you know, it's great. I believe education is for everyone, but it is a little strange to see, you know, an adult student amongst, you know, 18 and 22-year-olds. You know, someone's 30, 40, 50. So for-profit colleges really cater to the older students, people who are married already, have children, have jobs. And another characteristic that we can explore is they offer degrees in technical careers as well as associates and bachelor's degrees. And some of the most popular colleges, such as Wyotech, offer technical degrees for those who want to become technicians or mechanics. We always see those commercials on television, you know, call Wyotech now, get up out of your seat, become a mechanic. And these are, you know, careers that we need. We need people to fix our cars. We need people to, you know, help us with all these other, you know, cars, mechanics, anything. So they offer degrees offer degrees for jobs that are always here. Another college, Everest College, offers certifications in heating and air conditioning, electrician work, and other technical careers. Once again, these are jobs that we need. We need people to fix our heating systems and AC systems. We need people to help us with our electricity. Another thing about Everest College is that they also offer associate's degrees for those interested in working as x-ray technicians, medical assistants, or dental assistants. People can get started working in healthcare through these degrees and really work at a stable job. We're always going to need people to work as dental assistants and medical assistants, as well as x-ray technicians. Some colleges, such as University of Phoenix, offer bachelor's degrees as well as associate's degrees. They offer bachelor degrees in journalism, nursing, criminal justice, and other fields. Another thing to note about these colleges is they have large amounts of students taking classes both physically and online. You know, some of the largest for-profit colleges cater to thousands of students. They have people enrolled in their school going to classes every day or however often they do so. And they have people taking online courses too. So they've gotten into the online college, you know, the rise. They've gone into that kind of field. When we see students going to college, we associate them with, you know, we picture them sitting down in front of a desk with a professor writing at a whiteboard. But a lot of colleges are beginning to offer, a lot of colleges have begun to offer online courses for students who can't go into a class physically. Another characteristic to keep in mind is that they are expensive. For-profit colleges are very expensive. The average price's tuition at a for-profit college is, you know, $20,000 a year. And most students pay for school using a combination of grants, scholarships, government subsidized loans, and private loans. Keep in mind, there's people pay for school using government loans. They also get some sort of scholarships and government grants too. So that's something to keep in mind for a later segment. We'll talk about that. Another characteristic of these schools is that they're accessible and easy to reach. These colleges and universities are located in underserved areas with low income and minority populations. They often feature catchy phone numbers in commercials, and their websites have chat boxes that detect when a person is looking through the website, and that initiates a chat session. And when students call in, they're assigned to admissions counselors immediately. Keep in mind that word admissions counselors. That's another segment, another piece of this for-profit puzzle that we'll be exploring. And something to keep in mind is that I've read a lot of stories about students when I was researching this, about students who call in and are interested in these colleges, and they end up getting, you know, really aggressive admissions counselors, quote unquote, calling them, telling them to go in and enroll and everything. So that's something we want to talk about later on. So for-profit colleges, that's our introduction to them. But something that we should know is that for-profit colleges are facing a lot of controversy. This is a very hot issue, is to, you know, how do these colleges, which are essentially businesses, how do they treat their students, which would be in turn their clients, their customers, people who are paying to go there. So I want us to keep an open mind to see how that plays out. And we also want to talk about how these colleges have managed to stay in business. Why is it, if we see that they have controversy surrounding their treatment of students and the people who go there, why and how are they still in business? So stay tuned here on Out of the Hat, and we'll be back.
Coming for blood.
You could try and take us, but with the gladiators, everyone a rager, but secretly the savior. Slowly and gore go hand in hand. That's why we're making headlines. You could try and take us, but victory's contagious.
Kid in every way but one. God knows we like archaic kinds of fun. Chance is the only game I play with, baby. We let our battles choose us,
and the cry goes out.
They lose their minds for us and how it plays out. And now we're in the ring and we're coming for blood.
You could try and take us.
Keeping their eyes closed. The sun's starting to light up when we're walking home. Tired little laughs, gold light promises. We'll always win at this. I don't ever think about death. It's alright if you do, it's fine. We gladiate, but I guess we're really fighting ourselves. Roughing up our minds so we're ready when the kill time comes. Wide awake in bed, words in my brain. Secretly you love this, do you even wanna go free? Let me in the ring, I'll show you what that big word means.
You could try and take us, but with the gladiator.
Hello, and welcome back to Out of the Hat on Penguin Radio here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm DJ TBN. This is our second segment, and we are talking about for-profit colleges. And we want to know one thing. What is the issue with for-profit colleges? We touched upon the characteristics in of for-profit colleges in our last segment. But let's go down and tackle the controversy that's been surrounding these colleges. You know, the controversy comes from the fact that students at for-profit colleges graduate with enormous amounts of debt. That's number one. We may ask ourselves, well, this is not a new issue. Many college students graduate with large amounts of debt. But we have to look closer. An associate degree at a for-profit college averages a cost of $40,000. While at a community college, the same exact degree costs about approximately $6,000. You know, tuition at for-profit colleges is much higher, and for-profits employ ruthless business tactics. You know, this was explored in a New York Times article from February of this year. Entitled Lessons of a For-Profit College Collapse, it states that students and taxpayers must be protective from exploitative or irresponsibly managed for-profit institutions that rely on federal student aid. You heard that right. Federal student aid, and this makes up to 90% of their revenue. What we have to realize is that these institutions are here to make money. These are higher education institutions that run using business models. Another issue that comes up with for-profit colleges is the lack of formal accreditation. Some students who wish to transfer after attending a for-profit college may find difficulty transferring credits because the institution they attended was not a formally accredited institution. I looked at this in a BuzzFeed article entitled "How a Disgraced College Chain Trapped Its Students in Poverty." This was written by Molly Hensley Clancy, a reporter for BuzzFeed, and she saw that some people who graduated with degrees from for-profits, found that their degrees didn't even have value in the educational world, and some of these for-profits don't actually have formal accreditations from educational, accreditation commissions. So we saw that there was a woman in this article. Her name was Jennifer Wilson. She's from Cape Coral, Florida, and she talked about her experience with Everest College. Everest College is now defunct. Their parent company, Corinthian Colleges, was sued by various attorney generals of states. This includes attorney generals of California and Massachusetts. And she talked about, so back to Jennifer, she talked about her experience with Everest College. And in her interview, Wilson talked about the difficulty she had in job hunting after graduation. And something that we see that these for-profit colleges do is that they promise 100% job placement rates right after that people graduate. So people are, you go in, and so let's say I'm interested in attending Everest College because I wanted a degree in criminal justice, which is what Jennifer Wilson got. She got a degree in criminal justice. So I go in and I'm interested. The people there, they want me to enroll because the more students they enroll, the more money they make. So they want me to enroll, and they're going to tell me things I want to hear as to why I should enroll. So they're going to tell me that I'm going to find a job right after graduation. They have awesome partnerships with community businesses, and I'm set, and the investment into my education is the best thing I could do. So that's something that's happened to Jennifer. The thing is, after she graduated with her degree in criminal justice, she never landed a job at a police department, which is where she wanted to work. And she owed approximately $40,000 for a two-year degree. So how does this happen? How does a person get a degree and that degree isn't worth anything? Well, for-profit colleges don't invest 50% of their revenue that goes into education. So actually hiring professors or teachers, hiring people to help with job training. But most people don't find that they're learning enough. They're not actually learning the content they should be. I looked at a at a report of a student who went to a for-profit college, and some of the questions he was assigned for homework were something out of fourth grade, you know, something very basic. They're not real educational institutions. Sure, they have some job training, but they're not actually in there for the education of students. And then something also to consider about these colleges. Some students at these colleges have also been misled to believe that their financial aid packages do not need to be repaid. And Hensley Clancy explored this in her investigative article for BuzzFeed. And she mentioned how many students are scammed into believing that the loans that they have signed off are actually government grants. And Amber Brown, an Everest College student, and her name was changed in the article, was featured. And she says she was led to believe that she was on 100% Pell Grant through the government. She really had no idea what she was signing off on. And the money was used to pay for books and a laptop. But also something interesting is that it was also sent directly to her in a form of a stipend check every semester. So she was paying for her books, for her laptop, for her school supplies. But that loan money that she signed off on, that she believed was a grant from the government, was being sent to her in the form of a check. And she was using that check for her living expenses, for personal goods, anything. So that's a very interesting, very strange way of using a government grant, if that is because that's what she believed she had. So in reality, Brown signed off on loans. She didn't. She had maybe a government grant there, but she didn't have all of it covered. And those loans totaled to about $26,000 in debt. And the thing is that Brown never graduated. She dropped out. She didn't feel, she wasn't motivated anymore to go to school. She didn't really see any, she wasn't motivated. So she dropped out and ended up with $26,000 in debt. And that's something that's unacceptable. Shouldn't education be a public good? Is education for sale? Is that the kind of model that we need for our higher learning institutions? And another thing that I found troubling is that admissions counselors, if they can be called that, at for-profits are paid on commission. Their salary is proportionate to how many students they enroll. So that was an interesting tidbit of information that I found, is that that was allowed back when a law was signed in 2002 allowing that admissions counselors at these for-profit schools were allowed legally to make money and be paid on commission based on how many students they enrolled. And thankfully, that law has been repealed. That was repealed back in 2011. But it still happens. And these people at these admissions counselors at these for-profit schools are still allowed, they really are pushed to bring in people. So their salary is proportionate to how many students they enroll. And how do they do that? They're trained to use ruthless business tactics. They often schedule a meeting with a potential student and call and call and call until the student gives in and matriculates and enrolls into the college. I saw a report by Dan Rather about for-profit colleges just recently, and he talked about how these admissions counselors are really pushing a business model. The counselor is a misleading word, and they're really, they're there to bring in the students. And in this report, a former admissions counselor at Everest University was interviewed, and she only worked there for a couple months. But she talked about how the admissions counselors were really pushing and using bullying tactics to bring in students by really pushing them to their soft points. So they're very sensitive points. So an example of this would be, I'm an admissions counselor and I have a student come in and she tells me, oh, I'm a single mother. I want to change the field I'm working in. I really feel like this is the time to go back to school. So I as an admission counselor would tell her, okay, if you really want to do this, you're going to sign off right now because this is the best investment you can have for you can do. And I would, you know, really push her for that. And something that was very, very troubling in some of these videos is that these undercover videos that are featured on this report, we saw some of the admissions counselors not letting the students know anything about their financial aid before they enrolled. And this report, these undercover videos were done by the a government accountability office, and they investigated it in 2010. And one of them, it sickened me to see it. It was a student came in. He was talking about he really wants to start school and go back to school, but he was worried about the finances. So he requested to see a financial aid counselor. And the admissions counselor said, no, we are not allowed to do that because you're not enrolled in the college. And he kept pushing. He wasn't going to fall for that, but he kept pushing and pushing. And still there, they refused to let him see a financial aid counselor. And so that just shows how troubling this is that the students are so blind in a sense that they want to succeed. They want to get the degree. They want to change the way they're living, that they'll do anything for that college degree. And another controversy that's much more recent is that for-profits have been shut down in some parts of the country. The largest parent company of for-profits is Corinthian Colleges, and they shut down hundreds of schools across the United States after the Department of Education forced their operator, forced them to out of business. And Corinthian Colleges was forced to shut down campuses it operated in. This left thousands of students without a school and without a degree, and even though they'd already invested their money. So this is a big problem for students who are already in schools. You know, many of them were looking to become massage therapists, medical assistants, dental assistants, but they were left without a degree and with money already paid. So that how does one respond? Oh, my school's going to be shut down. It's something very new to us. So let's hope that these students are okay. I know it was said that the federal government would allow these students to maybe, you know, get some of their loans dismissed or something else. But a lot of them that took out private loans are really, you know, facing a lot of debt. And I wanted to talk about one for-profit college in particular. And this was featured on the Dan Rather Reports segment. This was on YouTube. It was featured was ITT Technical Institute. And they really broke down what this school is. And it features a lot of technical careers. You can get some associate's degrees there. And something that was very interesting is that in 2012, their total revenue was $1.3 billion. This for-profit school made $1.3 billion in revenue. And they broke down how this revenue was used and how this money was being separated and was being split up. And they found that 20% of the profit was profit. It was just pocketed. That 20% of the $1.3 billion was just pocketed. And 30% of it went to ads. Ads play a big part in for-profit colleges. So 30% went to ads, 20% to profit. Where did the 50%, the rest of it, that went to students. Only half of the revenue that was brought in went to the actual students who were attending that college. The other half was, part of it was pocketed, and the other part was used to recruit more students. And here's where you should get scared, where you're listening to us and you think, oh, why do I care? These are students. These are people who they enrolled themselves into for-profits. You know, they deserve what they're getting. Listen to this. More than 1 million of that revenue came from the federal government. That is taxpayer money being used for for-profit schools. And something that's very startling about these schools. In general, all for-profit schools, the graduation rate is less than half. Less than half of the people who enroll at a for-profit college graduate. That is something troubling when education is a public good. You know, if we're investing this taxpayer money, our own money, to go to these schools, we should have students that are coming out with degrees that are valuable, degrees that are worth something, degrees that can get them jobs, that can lead to people working in these jobs, to lead to help us with, you know, with the economy, and help us with people actually getting out there and working. Very troubling. You know, something else about ITT Tech is that they have over 140 campuses nationwide. And an interesting feature, or an interesting part of this, is that they have 4 campuses in Detroit alone. So this is where we talk about the predatory nature of for-profit colleges. They target poor, low-income, minority populations. They know where these people are. Detroit was hit, hard after the automobile industry, you know, had some issues. So where did the people go? They went back to college. A report from the U.S. government found that 2 million people went back to college during the recession. That is an enormous amount of people going back to college. So why is it that these for-profit colleges are so successful? They were there during the recession. They were open. So people wanted to go back to college, and this was a way that they saw, this is the way they saw how to do that. So very interesting controversy surrounding these for-profit colleges and how they work. And so when we come back here on our next segment, segment 3, we'll explore how and what we can do about these colleges, and how this is really going on in our society. So you're listening to Out of the Hat here on radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back. Our love is strong.
Did You Know? Brought to you by Penguin Radio.
Hey.
Did you know that the DJs of Penguin Radio develop and produce their own shows, research and write their own scripts, and engineer all of Penguin Radio's live and pre-recorded broadcasts, all by following the four P's: preparation, production, presentation, and problem solving. The DJs of Penguin Radio rock!
The news is love, brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
Mister, mister, I haven't ate anything for a week. Can I get a quarter? Hell no, motherfucker. What can a quarter get you? Nothing, motherfucker. You were just fucked up off them fucked up drugs. You know you need to fucking leave alone, but you keep telling me that you're drug free. Motherfucker, you ain't drug free. You're a fiend. And every time.
DU, did you know? Brought to you by Penguin Radio. Did you know that the DJs of Penguin Radio develop and produce their own shows, research and write their own scripts, and engineer all of Penguin Radio's live and pre-recorded broadcasts, all by following the four P's: preparation, production, presentation, and problem solving. The DJs of Penguin Radio rock!
DJs, did you know? Brought to you by DJs of Penguin Radio.
It's a fairy tale so tragic. There's no prince to break the spell. I don't believe in magic, but for you I will. If for you I will. If I'm a fool.
Hello and welcome back. You're listening to Out of the Hat here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, DJ TBN. In our previous segments, we defined what for-profit colleges are. We talked about what they do for students and some of the controversies surrounding for-profit colleges. So let's get to the root of the problem. Why are students still enrolling in for-profit colleges? For-profit colleges advertise high rates of degree completion and guaranteed jobs after graduation. We've seen students who go in and they're promised a job right after graduation. They're promised that they will be placed in high-paying jobs. Some of the students were actually lied to, which is so bad. But there's a student who went in asking about a medical assisting job and a degree to get that. And it's a very technical career, you know, that goes into to become a medical assistant. And she was promised something about $60,000 a year starting out as a medical assistant, when reality, a cursory Google search would tell you that it's about $30,000 a year. That's how much they make a year. So this student was completely lied to. And how does this happen? Is that many of the students who go to for-profit colleges and enroll, they end up, you know, with all these kind of lies being told to them. And the reason is that these people have no other way. A lot of them have no experience with the college system here in the United States. They have no experience of how it works out. They don't really know why colleges do certain things or how to deal with financial aid. So this sector of higher education heavily advertises to low-income minority populations, and the promise of a second chance at a college education with guaranteed employment is simply too attractive to potential students. And these colleges are in places where students can reach them. I mentioned ITT Tech has 4 campuses in Detroit and 140 campuses across the United States. And many of them are even in rural areas. There was a student in Warrior, Alabama, who attended Everest College, and she was pursuing a degree in business administration, and she was really on the living in poverty. Her only source of income came from the $700 disability check that she received each month. And something interesting that happened to her is that when she applied to go to, she has a learning disability, and when she applied to go to community college, she didn't have a GED. This student was featured in the BuzzFeed article, "Lower Education, How a Disgraced College Chain Trapped Its Students in Poverty," by Molly Hensley Clancy. And the student really she didn't have a GED. She didn't have any sort of a high school diploma, nothing. And she was accepted and enrolled into Everest College. They were taking her money, basically. And something interesting to know is that students who enroll in these colleges are typically low-income minority students. And these low-income students are perfect for these colleges to prey on, because they are eligible for federal Pell Grants. Something interesting to note is that some of the college's revenue actually comes from federally funded government grants for students. And so this student who in Warrior, Alabama, who enrolled, her Pell Grant was being used to pay for her college education. And she also signed off on loans, which she had no idea she was doing. They're very sneaky in their loan signing tactics. And she signed off on loans. She had this grant. She was going to school. It was paying for her books. And also came back to her in a form of a stipend check, which is very interesting that these students, these loans are signing off on, some of the money is going back to them, but it's not in a good way, because they have to pay this money back eventually, with very high interest rates. And so she's getting a form of a stipend check, and that was really helping her out. When her food stamps ran out, this is what she was using to pay for her food. This is what paid the rent also for her and her family. So very predatory colleges. We see that they're predatory and they're preying on these people. And it's just that these lies that they put forth are so attractive to students. And that's what we want to hear as students. Yes, you're going to get a job after graduation. Their investment is worth it. And in this case, the investments in these for-profit schools are not worth it. Many people come out with $40,000 in debt for a two-year degree. Keep in mind, a two-year degree at the same exact degree at a community college, equivalent $6,000 to $8,000. $6,000 to $8,000 compared to $40,000. So how do these colleges get these people? Another way is that they employ aggressive advertising tactics. Often their advertisements take the form of television commercials. So when I was researching this story, I found it very interesting, because one of these popped up, and this is a radio commercial on Pandora. I was listening to my Pandora station as I researched this story. I was writing it out, and it came up for University of Phoenix, and it was, you know, catchy. It had a jingle. It was shouty. I characterized them as shouties, that they have a person yelling at you, you know, get up, get off the couch, get your butt out of there, go, you get your degree. So it was shouting at me, and I can see if someone feels that they're not, you know, living life to the fullest, they don't, you know, what can make it better? A college degree. I can see how this could inspire people. And so these commercials are very precisely targeted to their audience. And these typically play during shows such as Maury, Jerry Springer, or MTV shows. And some shows on MTV that feature them are Succeed and Pregnant, Teen Mom, and True Life. And these are, as I was doing my research, I actually sat down and watched these shows for a little bit. And in between the commercials, in between during commercial breaks, I saw at least one commercial every, I would say, 15 to 20 minutes when the commercials, it would pop on. So it's interesting. These are aggressive sales tactics that these for-profit colleges are employing. It's because they are businesses. They are here to make money. 30% of ITT technical institutes' revenue goes to to ads. They're buying up the ad space. They want to get people going to their colleges, and they want to have people see them and make themselves visible. I also see them at recruiting fairs. When there's job fairs, I've seen for-profit colleges, be there. Back in high school, I remember, I think it was Everest College. It was before the whole controversy surrounding Everest College. They were there with their representatives, and the representatives are trained to draw people in. But I want to take time to talk about, I've been bashing a lot on for-profit colleges. This is one of my favorite topics and very interesting to me. But let's talk about what they do right. In fact, even with all the negative publicity surrounding for-profits, they are, according to Eduardo Porter of the New York Times, the fastest growing segment of higher education, accounting for 20% of two-year associate's degrees granted in the U.S. And who is it, Eduardo Porter? Eduardo Porter is author of the article, The Bane and Boom of For-Profit Colleges, and he's part of the New York Times editorial board. And he talks a lot about what these colleges are doing right in order to attract students, and how can community colleges learn from them. And another thing to keep in mind is that 10% of college students in 2013 were or attended a for-profit college. So it's not just a small percentage. That's a significant amount of students who attend these. And as we look at these for-profits and their business models, we see that they are quick to develop programs that train students for jobs that are necessary. So we talked about those jobs that these students are going for. They're going for plumbing, carpentry, heating and air conditioning, medical. They want to become medical assistants, dental assistants, x-ray technicians. So these colleges develop these programs quickly, and they advertise them to the students who want to see them. And, in this sense, these for-profit colleges are stepping up to fill the growing demand for the higher education degree. They're there to when students want to go back to school. And I always say that community colleges can learn from these for-profits in a sense of advertising and how they bring in students, because community colleges are great places to go get an associate's degree, go back to school, get some credits, maybe transfer to a four-year. We have a sense that the traditional four-year education, expensive university is the only way to get your degree. But no, it's not. We need to get rid of that stigma, that negative stigma that surrounds community colleges. They are awesome. They're great. I recommend it. I've taken classes at a college in Marin, and it's great. I recommend it to everyone. But for-profit colleges, no. These are predatory business-minded colleges that are here to make profit. So I would stay away from those. And another thing that we can talk about is that community colleges, there's a plan to make them free. First 2 years of community colleges can be free. There's talks about, not charging students, not overwhelming them with debt. So if they can somehow target the audience or target the students that would benefit most from them, that would be so great. Another thing I wanted to talk about with for-profit colleges is that when students want to transfer and leave, if they're not seeing results, or they don't feel comfortable and they want to transfer, some of their credits aren't able to be transferred because they may not be formally accredited or regionally accredited schools. Some big state schools won't take them. So that's very unfortunate for the students that end up, losing out because they're losing all that money that they invested. And I just want to reiterate that education is a public good, and education is not for sale. It's not ethical to have all these students go into debt and end up not making it, not having their degree. And let's touch upon why poor students are the main students that attend for-profits, and for-profits, they love poor students. And why? It's because they have the government grants available to them. They are offered the Pell Grants. They are offered loans to their, it's much easier for them to get these educational loans. And so for-profits end up, you know, keeping that, the money if the student doesn't graduate, they keep that money. Even if they do graduate, they still keep that money, or that student is indebted to them and they have to pay it off. And a really shocking, shocking story I read in Molly Hensley Clancy's article was about a woman who graduated, and she was so proud. You know, it was her life dream to graduate. And as when she graduated, she opened her diploma. Instead of a diploma inside, it was a bill for $3,000. No joke, a bill for $3,000. She was dumbfounded. She didn't know what to do. Well, what else could she do? She needed to pay up. So she took out another loan because that was money she did not have. Paid the $3,000, and what was that $3,000 for? To get her diploma. She needed, that was some sort of fee that Everest College came up with for her to go actually get the paper diploma to put in her diploma holder. And she was just in debt. And she said, that was the only time I felt happy. And then when I see this bill, it just really, everything came down to me like, no, this isn't for real. And she ended up working in the same place where she was working before she started school. So something to keep in mind with for-profit colleges. This is one of my favorite topics, and it's because of the business model that they employ. So we see them, they're growing. They've grown since the late 20th century. They really grew during the recession because investors saw them as ways of easy money. They were having all these students go back in. They're bringing in profit, and they're not being affected by the recession. And they work now because they employ these aggressive business models. So to sum up this discussion we've had about what I would call for-profit colleges and universities is, you know, we see they're everywhere. They're ubiquitous. ITT Tech, over 140 campuses, four alone in Detroit. They employ aggressive business tactics. They have aggressive marketing and advertising featuring commercials, radio commercials, and they bring people in. They are expensive. They average $20,000 a year for tuition for technical and associate's degrees, and some of them even offer bachelor's degrees, which are more expensive. They cater to non-traditional students. These are students that are, you know, older, working already. They have large amounts of students taking classes online and physically, and they're accessible. So that's basically it for for-profit colleges. I encourage you to do your own research about these colleges and the articles that I referenced on this week's show were Lower Education, How a Disgraced College Chain Trapped Its Students by Molly Hensley Clancy for BuzzFeed. Another article I looked at, which is very good, it was by Molly Hensley Clancy, again, for BuzzFeed, called Students at For-Profit College Say They Weren't Being Told Their School Was Sold. I would also look into Eduardo Porter's article entitled The Bane and Boon of For-Profit Colleges, and that was for the New York Times. So I encourage you, look at this, look at Dan Rather reports about for-profit colleges on YouTube, and see for yourself how these for-profits run and why they are a disgrace to American society. This has been Out of the Hat. I'm DJ TBN, and you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. See you next week.